Ooh, Joel, you're. Let me fix your camera up a little bit.
Oh no!
Doing it live.
Speaking of fixing, get your flu shot, y'all.
You got hit hard last week, dude.
I put it off. I was like, it's probably fine this year. Fuck, I was wrong. Thursday, I told the person in charge at work. I was like, I gotta go home. I feel awful. I even texted my boss. It's like, yo, I'm greatly affected. I gotta go home. It was not a good time. I had like a headache for like 12 hours. Couldn't sleep. Fever. Yeah. Get your flu shots. Do your flu shot. Next time it comes around, get it.
So like, what was going on? Like, did you just have the whole gamut?
The whole, yeah. Chills, fever, headache. Couldn't sleep, of course, because I had a headache and I was overheating. That was fun. Then, of course, the after effect, because I was, 101 to 103 degrees. I'm just like fried. I was like, so Jesus. It was, yeah. Yeah. So get your flu shot, people.
Yeah. Especially nowadays. You don't want to fuck around. You don't want to find out what happened.
Don't put it off. I was like, I'll do it later. And then I forgot.
Like, shit, I was getting my ass kicked by allergies like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So. It doesn't help that we keep getting into warm and cold situations, but that's, that's weather. But, Joel, we got a lot of things to talk about today. Welcome to the Anatomy Nerd Podcast. We're talking about a bunch of nerdy stuff. We're going to be talking about a lot of cool things. But before we get to that, I want to remind everybody that on the 27th, we're 2 weeks away from our next championship match. Me and Joel the champion, me the challenger. I challenged him to a high score match of Pokemon Snap, which I actually didn't realize until you told me that you actually never played the game. So this will be fun.
Dirty bastard challenging me to another game I haven't played. That's okay though. I'm excited. I never played when I was young. I didn't have an N64. I had a PS1. See, so
I think that was just my hubris, thinking that like everybody in our generation played all of the like highly rated games from like the N64. So that was on me. Because I was all
Crash Bandicoot, baby. That's where I was.
See?
Crash Bandicoot 2, 3, 4. Well, not 4, but.
See, I went the Nintendo route as a kid.
Jak and Daxter, Ratchet and Clank, Sly Cooper were my homies.
Now, part of me always kind of regrets not being able to play those games in the day they came out.
They were fun. They were good single-player adventure games. Like, that. I think PlayStation, they've always been good at that, and they've.
I did catch Spyro though.
Nice.
We got a PlayStation 2 and I rented like Spyro. I forget which Spyro it was from like Blockbuster.
There's so many.
But apparently there's possibilities of a new one coming out soon.
Oh yeah, I heard about that. Yeah.
So that'd be kind of cool.
Pokemon Snap. Finally, my time has come. Now me is very excited to finally play Pokemon Snap.
It'll be cool.
I had the Prima Guides game or whatever that game. I had the guide, but no game.
But what'll be cool is that we will not be alone, because our good friend Lisa, aka Lisa Sad, is going to be here with us live in person. Yeah. She's going to be our Pokemon professor. So maybe she can
Pokemon master
Joel. I'd be lying if I said that she did not love this game. Like, she, when I asked her, hey, do you want to come hang out with us? We're going to be playing Pokemon Snap. She's like, I am on board. We're going to go. So, you're going to have your guru there to help you out.
Yeah.
I'm going to do my thing.
Yeah.
But, we're going to have a lot of fun. So come check us out 1 p.m. Saturday, 27th. Right here on twitch.tv/UnitedWeNerd, where you could be watching us live right now. Woo. And of course, if you're not, you can catch us on YouTube, on podcast services, and clips on TikTok, Instagram, And YouTube is again as well. But anyway, Joel, we have a lot to talk about today. We played Onslaught last week, Destiny 2.
Oh, yeah.
I think that'll be our biggest topic today. So before we get to that, I just want to go through a little small things that came about since the last time we podcasted. Namely, the first thing I want to talk about is that we finally found out who is voicing Shadow the Hedgehog in Sonic 3 movie.
Yes, sir.
Mr. John Wick himself, Keanu Reeves, is going to be playing Shadow the Hedgehog.
Good reveal, honestly.
I'm going to need a lot of guns.
People were saying it's going to be Hayden Christensen. I was like, okay, that's cool. But I was waiting for them to confirm who it was going to be. But that's cool. He's going to shoot Sonic in the head. So that's...
Oh, God. I hope he has third guns. Apparently, there was, like, some, like, CinemaCon that happened, like, this past weekend or so. Apparently, they show people in attendance, like, the first glimpse of the movie. So,
nice.
Can confirm, Shadow has his motorcycle. Can confirm. Nice. Also, can confirm that we're getting Fat Eggman. Which is also a cool thing, because we got reconfirmed that that Jim Carrey is coming back. Because I knew when the second movie came out, he was kind of talking about retiring. So, yeah. I guess not, because it must be a really good gig to be Eggman. So
a lot of good gold earrings for him.
Hoops. So yeah, I can't wait. It's the year of Shadow. Dude. You know, we're getting the movie, we're getting the Sonic Generations Cross Shadow remake coming out kind of around the same time as the movie, which is cool. So we're living in the year of Shadow, as dubbed by Sega officially.
Hell yeah.
Something I just put on the docket to this morning. We are finally getting an actual announcement of at least a digital version of Godzilla Minus One.
Fucking finally.
Coming to Amazon Prime Video on May 3rd. Also announced the black and white version of Minus One. And surprisingly, Shin Godzilla as well. So we'll be getting two really good Godzilla movies coming out the day before Star Wars Day. So we'll get the kaiju it up before we Star Wars it up. A little pre-party. Now, I don't know about you.
I'm really excited. I really want to see Minus One again.
I feel like we need to have... I already want people to sit down to watch Superhero. But I think we need to sit people down and watch Minus One.
Oh, yeah.
Because that shit hit.
That shit hit. Like, it's actually like, come and watch it. It's not a social thing. This is you're actually watching
it. It is an Oscar winning movie.
Yes. That good. That good.
That's how good it is. We got that announcement. I believe there's another movie based announcement.
Oh, I saw that. It was announced that they're making a live action One Punch Man. Discussing Film dropped it. The writers of Rick and Morty are writing the script, and Justin Lin's going to direct. I don't know if, hopefully, this sounds fake, but I just wanted to. It's not the other fake page, though. That's what I was worried about, too. But
Discussing Film?
I don't know.
Posted?
Yeah, it's not Disbusting Film. I know they're the fake one. They tricked me before. But
well, actually, the source came from Hollywood Reporter, so that's
what
legit.
It says, yeah.
Interesting. So
I guess we're getting a live action One Punch.
So, I mean, that could work, because One Punch Man isn't like super serious.
No, not at
all. So I could see it by being like a action comedy. Did they mention like where is it coming from? Coming to is like, is it another Netflix property? Is it going to be a?
I didn't click further. I was scared. I'm gonna be honest. I was just like, I'll share this. I'm not gonna.
Because what was Because Hulu has a... Didn't they have the exclusivity deal with One Punch Man? Or at least season two?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe it was that.
So I'm wondering, maybe? Maybe it's Hulu's foray into live-action anime? I don't know. It's all confusing, because now, like, Hulu's starting to get mixed into Disney Plus, and, like, that's becoming, yeah, like, a amalgamation of a whole bunch of weird shit. But, you know. For an anime that's not that serious, it should be good? I guess?
All I know is I enjoyed season one and season two more than most animes, so...
Actually, I don't think I still haven't finished season two, actually.
Yeah, I think we were watching it, and then the pandemic happened. I was like, oh, well, we're not going to watch it together anymore. So,
I think it was way before that.
I'll blame the pandemic. But yeah, something probably came along and was like, oh, this is more entertaining to watch. It's probably My Hero. But
speaking of anime, you know what is fun to watch? Kaiju number 8 finally came out in anime form this past weekend on Crunchyroll.
Nice.
First episode came out really good. I know you started reading the manga.
It was so good.
I mean, the anime is just as good. What I personally like is that they are making it a simulcast, so we're getting the sub and the dub at the exact same time instead of being a week behind. Nice. Like most other anime, which is sick. Both recommendations by Jameson. I also watched the newly released Go Go Loser Rangers. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
I heard about it, yeah.
So it's on Hulu. I think it's only subbed. But I watched it anyway because I read the first volume a while ago, and it's actually really fun. For people that don't know, Go Go Loser Ranger is basically what if you took the idea of like Super Sentai and like the Power Rangers, but then your main character is basically an evil monster, like henchman monster. But it slowly start to show that maybe the Sentai Rangers are actually kind of assholes. So it has that good bit of like comedy and action. It looks really good. I highly recommend that too. But Kaiju number 8, like Kaiju number 8 is one of those like manga now anime adaptations that I like sunk really hard into that I normally don't, at least anymore, with a lot of like manga. But I mean, it's kaiju, so of course they're going to have at least a little bit of interest in it. But yeah, the animation's great. I've been watching the dub. The voice acting's really good. Unfortunately, I haven't gotten, they haven't gotten into the major action yet because it's only the first episode. So it only covers like a good portion of the first volume. So I can't wait to see when the budget starts really rolling in.
I'm excited. The read is so good. I can't wait. I literally couldn't put it down. I was like, this is basic. Like, nothing else mattered.
It's so good, dude.
So good.
Let's see. Did... So Civil War is a thing. Did you watch it?
Yeah, I did not. I wanted Marcel to talk about it. Maybe he can share his thoughts later. But basically, this movie about... We were talking about it via text. What would it be like to be, you know, in the middle of a civil war with modern warfare? Which, just saying that out loud is fucking scary. Like, considering all the modern technology and weapons we have. So, yeah, he said it was really intense. I know people are upset about, like, this doesn't really represent America, but, you know, take a step back.
It's a fictional reality, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Just think about what's happening here, right? just take a step back. You know, you can let go of reality for this. That's all. But, yeah, I did not see it. And Marcelo, of course, saw it on IMAX, so that was probably a hell of a ride.
Oh, yeah. The only thing I've really heard about Civil War is that they did something with the audio of the guns to make it sound scary.
Oh, shit.
Like, I think it's like it's so realistic that listen to it in the theater, it like you feel scared when the gun fires off in the movie. So
yeah.
I can only imagine what IMAX is like. I hope we can talk to Marcelo soon. I want to get his opinion on it.
I want to hear his thoughts. Yeah.
Okay.
But I did see Monkey Man with Dev Patel.
He wrote it.
Yeah, he wrote it, directed it, started it. People are equating it to John Wick.
Looks like John Wick.
I think if you don't know from the outside, yes, you could equate it that way. Once watching it, though, it's John Wick is very linear. There's nothing linear about this movie. It's, of course, I think the common thing they have is that is a revenge story for sure. But yeah, Dev Patel can bring it, man. Like, this just shows, like, no one was giving him a chance. He's like, fuck it, I'll do it myself with Jordan Peele. It was great. Good action. I don't want to spoil too much. But yeah, the story, not linear. There's some bold choices made that I have not seen in this media, at least for me. Like, I was like, wow, that's pretty brave of what they chose. And it works, though. It works.
What I've gathered from the trailer is, it's like, what if John Wick meets Ip Man meets the Protector? Is that accurate?
I will just say he was very much inspired by like Jackie Chan and Bruce Lee and Donnie Yen type of films. That's all. Tony Jaa.
Is it only in theaters?
Yes, currently only in theaters. Yeah.
Okay. I need to watch it.
Great cinematic shots too. Yeah. Sarah just happened to be. She's like, "Hey, I'm gonna go see it, and I have an extra ticket today." And I was like, "Well, of course I'm gonna go see it." And she already saw it too. She saw it with her other friend Sarah because they love Dev Patel. They're like, "We're gonna see it again. You want to come?" I was like, "Well, yeah, I want to see it now." You saw it. You said it was good. So, definitely some surprising moments. But yeah, it's hard. I think for those who know the Raid 2, it felt like that a little. There's some moments I was like, ooh, I think I showed you and Jameson the Raid 2. I was like, you guys got to watch this shit. It's fucking nerdy.
I actually haven't seen the Raid movies.
Who did I show you? Who did I show them?
I think you showed me the scene from Raid 2.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, because there's like a really sick scene in Raid 2. But you know how bad I am with movies, but right. I need to watch
Raid
that.
2 and superheroes in one day. Superheroes will be the palate cleanser. But yeah, okay. If you want to support a Southeast Asian brother, yeah, Monkey Man, go check it out. It's a good action.
Right. Sweet.
Nothing like it. No way. That's all I'm going
to
say.
Well, you heard it here.
Yeah. Let's see, what else did I put? It was before, a while ago, we didn't get to it, but Julia Garner, who is in Ozarks, she did phenomenal. Now I watched that with Sarah and a few friends. She's apparently cast as one of the Silver Surfers. I think that's really interesting. They're going forward with that arc, with Fantastic Four, I assume, right? So we're going to have a female Silver Surfer. I know there's been a couple, right? I mean, I was thinking they were going to do Norrin Rad, the dude one, but hey, cool. I think they're probably testing the water, see how people feel. They want to get people hyped for Fantastic Four. Disney's still trying to figure things out with Brave New World. Interesting casting choice, though.
Are they just going for Galactus first thing?
That's what I'm thinking. I mean, they're probably going ham because Disney like has to save face. I keep saying it, but that's what I think they're doing.
Do you think Galactus might be the new fill-in? Like, because it seems like they've all but confirmed that Kang is out. Like, Kang is not the guy anymore.
Which is unfortunate. I get why they've pulled back. They could have recast, but Yeah, I think we haven't heard shit. I was just thinking about it the other day, how like people were dropping out of the Kang Dynasty movie, and then maybe it's not happening, or Secret Wars might not be happening. So I think they're probably going to lean on Galactus and Celestials and shit. That's my guess.
Well, I think it was more so confirmed when it was announced that they, you know, erased the name of Kang Dynasty. You know, yeah. It just became Avengers 5 again.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if they really go all in on Fantastic Four, I don't see why not. Like, I feel like they would have to have, like, another villain. Like, see, that's the issue. Because
there is going to be a villain, I'm sure, but
because
who are they going to cast? They're quiet about it.
Fantastic Four has the possibility of having two Avengers level villains. Yes. So it would feel very strange to have one to throw away to set up another when you could have both, not at the same time.
Yeah.
And this being the only like Fantastic Four movie before the whatever the next Avengers movie is going to be. I don't know. The timetable's all weird now.
Which is kind of nice. It keeps us in suspense. You know, we don't know, but also we don't know.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's good to not know, but other times, like when they leak other information, I'm like, oh, that's not good. But yeah. We're, in case you don't know what we're hinting at, Dr. Doom is what we're talking about here, in case you didn't pick up on it.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Dr. Doom.
Yeah. But yeah, Galactus and Dr. Doom for sure would be Avengers level threat. So there's, of course, other Fantastic Four things they could do. They go to the future and kind of time travel a little as well. So I'm curious to see what their story will be. But yeah, Galactus first movie? Yeah, here we go.
I'm just waiting for Deadpool and Wolverine. We're like a month out. I'm ready.
Shit, dude. That's going to be
awesome. I'm ready. It's going to be our only movie this year. Honestly, as far as Marvel goes. No, that's fine.
That's okay.
But, like, I'm just, like, because I think, what was it, there's the interview with the director recently and saying that we didn't call this Deadpool 3 because it's more than that. And it's like, what the fuck are you going to do? I want to know. I'm curious.
We'll see. I hope they time travel, do some bullshit. I hope they go in the MCU and the Fox universe. And the Fantastic Four universe and the other Hulk universe. I hope they do all sorts of weird bullshit and have fun, honestly. That's what I'm looking for.
Reddit Brook Reviews said in the chat, oh, Madam Web wasn't enough for you? So I will have you know, I did not see Madam Web. So in my mind, there's only one Marvel movie this year. And that's also not counting Kraven.
And Venom 3. Venom 3's this year, dude.
Wait, they're both this year?
They're both this year. I think they're... What? Sony needs money. Madam Web did it, Duca. They need to save money.
When did they make all of these movies?
When they weren't supposed to, probably with the strikes, but... I don't know.
It's Jameson and Shaggy agrees. They made a third... I knew there was a third Venom movie, but I didn't know they were all coming out this year.
Think they are coming out this year, unless they push it back. They might push it back.
Raven's this year for sure. That's like end of summer.
They announced.
Hold up.
Okay. Hold up. I want to this year.
I want to confirm this live. Venom 3.
I'm happy to be wrong.
It's called The Last Dance. Oh God.
Yes, it is.
In the script. It was nearly completed by early 2024. The time is real. It's set to release on October 25th.
Yep. Happy birthday, Jameson. You want to go see Venom 3? that's
my
what you want,
God.
Right?
You know what?
The three not Spider-Man universe movies.
I can tolerate Venom. It's a garbage movie, but it's enjoyable garbage. You know, it's It harkens to like the energy of like a late 80s, early 90s action movie where it's like you knew the budget wasn't there, but it's like it's a movie you pop on like a Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Half pay attention while you're scrolling TikTok and shit.
Yeah, yeah.
But Kraven is the one that I am.
Think too hard.
What's wild to me is that there hasn't been another trailer. Like, are they going to really wait until Comic-Con to release another trailer?
Yeah. Got to hype it up, right?
It's like, I know Sony wants to do... I know Sony wants to do the Sinister Six verse. But, I mean...
It can be sad over here.
When does Kraven come out? August 3rd or August 30th. Okay. So yeah, it's the end of summer.
Happy birthday, wife. We're going to see Kraven. That's what you wanted to see. She'll love that.
It kind of pains me because random Rick in the chat just said nobody cares about Kraven ever. It's like, that's what's sad because like Kraven can be a good character. Like
if Spider-Man,
like Spider-Man. Exactly what he's not the protagonist of anything, which is why I don't understand it. And especially because isn't it rumored that Sony is trying to get a Spider-Man for Venom 3? At least that's the rumor I heard. I don't know if it's true.
You know, I would see Kraven if they like somehow got in like, I can't hunt this, but I'll hunt this. And he hunts fucking Venom. Like, all right, you guys, at least half a star for trying. But they're not even sure. Who is he fighting? Why should I care?
His lion blood. His lion blood.
The lion drop going in his body. And, oh, my
God. No, man. Specifically the eyeball. He killed a lion and the blood dripped into his eye. Now he has lion powers. He has a sense of an animal.
Dad, Russell Crowe. He's like, oh, Dad, you're hurting the animals. I'm going to kill you. I'm calling it now. I got to kill you, Dad. He's like, no, I'm going to be the real hunter. I'm Kraven.
Jameson says the ultimate hunt, man spider.
I mean, that'd be dope, but we're not getting it. We're not fucking getting it.
And if we are, it's going to be weird.
Part man, part spider. Yeah, it's fucking Michael Keaton probably, but food days here.
Oh, you know what? When they come, we'll see. Like we didn't watch Madam Web. We'll probably see Madam Web when it's free. We don't have to spend money for it.
I'm not paying for it.
Kraven is a questionable. Venom 3 for me, see, at least Venom for me doesn't have the ill will that the other Sony anti-hero movies have.
You know what you're getting into. It's like bad on purpose at this point.
So, I don't know. I just want them to have Spider-Verse come out sooner.
Well, that's probably why they're throwing Kraven and Venom out there to make money for Spider-Verse 3.
When's that coming out? Because they pushed it back, right?
Yeah, they took off the date because I think everything that was happening.
Spider-Verse.
Don't worry, we're getting across the Kraven-verse too. Is that what everyone wants?
Across the Kraven-verse.
With Paul Giamatti as the Rhino. Again.
Oh yeah, there isn't. I don't think there is a release date yet.
No. I mean, they did get in trouble for like forcing people to overwork.
Oh no, this is the old one. Yeah, because originally it was supposed to come out a month ago.
Yep.
But not anymore. Okay. Well,
treat your workers right. Take time to make a great movie.
Treat animators with respect and also pay them.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, you know, that's in the far future. Let's talk about something that we did in our near past, Joel. We played Onslaught last week on stream.
Hold on, Brian. Hold on. You don't want to talk about WrestleMania a little bit? You don't want to talk about WrestleMania?
I don't want to. So that's the thing, because I know that there's a fine line between people that care about wrestling and people that don't give a fuck about wrestling. I guess
I just want to say, for me, I've been going like a little bit back into it, and you guys are hyped about WrestleMania. I was like, fine, I'll finally watch a WrestleMania. It was fucking good. I haven't watched.
You picked a good one to come back to,
dude. It was really good, and I just finished rewatching part. Two. I mean, I saw the second half of Sunday Live, but the first half I finally finished with like LA Knight and like Stephanie McMahon's intro and stuff like that, and the tag team ladder match, yeah, and that
was a fun match.
The ladies triple threat. It was all good. I mean, I know it's like my wife was like watching it with me too. She's like, so we all agree, we all know it's fake, but we're still having fun. It's like, yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, but it's still entertainment. Like, very talented. Acrobatic, and they still get hella hurt too. Holy
it's
shit!
Storytelling.
Like some of the shit, I was like, "Oh man!" Like, "Ow!" Like, "Ooh."
Randy Ricochet showing respect for our local champion Bailey. Who was? Right. See, that's what I was happy about. Like the two matches I was looking forward to the most, obviously, was Roman versus Cody and the whole Bloodline rules thing, but also Bailey because it was. Her first singles match at WrestleMania, and she won the title, and I was fucking psyched about that.
It was a good match.
Tell me he just didn't say that. Oh, no. So don't tell me that fake. Making some enemies, Joel.
Whatever, it's fine.
Gotta push it to SummerSlam.
push to SummerSlam.
But no, it was good. But yeah, like you honestly picked like the perfect WrestleMania to come back to see, because this is like, I know it was touted on a lot like throughout the entire weekend, that weekend where like this is like the new era of like the WWE. But it honestly is. It's like we are literally a year removed of the Vince McMahon shit show. And this is the new like more liberated creative WWE's letting it breathe, letting it like. Legit, this whole Bloodline story has been like almost 4 years in the making. If this was a couple years ago, I would have never imagined there being a storyline that lasted like 5 months, let alone almost 4 years, you know. So that's impressive.
What was really hype is I know I saw it like revealed on social media, but watching the first match with the Freak and Drew McIntyre, and it's like, I know what's gonna happen, but the build-up was cool. I'm like, fucking CM Punk fucking throw you on the table. Like, oh, I'm waiting for it. And then you just see Damian Priest with his big ass running down with
that
the
was
cat.
So good.
Oh dude, that must have been so hype, like just not knowing that. Oh man, it was still good though.
So
good.
I'm sure you noticed, but like the whole weekend was the ring announcer Samantha Irvin. Fantastic fucking talent. Like she is like the best ring announcer in the modern day, bar none. But what I didn't know is that at least for that match, apparently she was on TikTok live for the entire match, and someone like reposted it on the TikTok, and it was entertaining just having her react to like all of that going down, like Drew winning, talking shit to CM Punk. CM Punk beats the shit out of him. Damian runs in, steals the title.
I like the little gag where he like stole the phone, and they revealed the tweet later. Is like at work, bored, lol. I was like, oh my god.
And then 2 hours later, he retweeted saying, "Fuck."
good on Triple H, dude. Like, what a fucking.
What a turnaround.
Right? Holy shit.
Like, they literally went from struggling ratings to like semi-low attendance to now, like, they're literally selling out every venue they go to. They keep breaking records every PLE that they do. So, yeah. It's nice because, honestly, you know how big of a wrestling fan I am. Like, obviously, we made a fucking title belt for this podcast, obviously. But, like, it was getting really rough, dude. Like, like 5 years ago, it was, like, getting really rough to watch the product. And, like, you know, AEW came about, and then, of course, like, it started getting easier to see other things. And, you know, I always go to independent shows and whatnot. But, like, watching, like, WWE, it was getting fucking rough. So, being able to see it, like, explode like this is fantastic. Random Rick in the chat says, the Cena kids have grown up and have come back to wrestling and wanted to see non-PG stuff. And that's the thing, because it's still technically a PG product, but they play a little bit more loosely as far as, like, they know when to push the line as far as, like, you know, swearing and, like, you know, when there's blood on certain things. Like, they know when it's good to do it instead of just doing it to do it. And I think that's what makes the difference. It's like they know, it's like, okay, we need to hit this point in the story. Okay, we're going to do this. And it works. So, but yeah, WrestleMania 40. Round of applause. Everybody involved.
I still
involved.
Laugh or smile when I watch a video of Randy Orton kicking I Show Speed. That shit's so funny. He's like flies, man. All right, I just wanted to bring that up because we all saw it, which was interesting. I was like, you guys are watching. I was like doing homework. I was like, fuck it, I'll throw it on. Oh, LA Knights talking shit. Hell yeah. You know, like,
yeah. I love that it's the trend keeps going that every, like, WrestleMania, Logan Paul brings one of his friends to be the fucking prime bottle, and they immediately get their shit kicked in. And then they have the tweet of, like, his friend being on a gurney.
Sort of, but kind of not related. Brian, you want to talk about Eddie Gordo in Tekken 8?
Oh, bro, let me tell you how oppressive this motherfucker is. Okay, so a little over a week ago, Tekken 8 finally got their first DLC character, Eddie Gordo, a fan favorite character, like a classic Tekken character. What's cool is that this time around, they decide that they're going to rework his whole kit, right? They're giving him new moves. They brought in a world-renowned Capoeira master to, like, mocap his whole fight set and everything. And boy, is he oppressive as fuck. I have not gotten perfect multiple times in a row ever since Tekken 8 came out, more than against playing Eddie Gordo people. It is no joke, Joel. If you were just to mash, like, X or square, you could win as Eddie Gordo. Now, that's not saying he's not a good character. He's a really good character. He has a lot of cool stuff in his whole kit. It's just that easy to combo the fuck out of somebody by just pressing a button with him, because his movements are just so fluid and so, like, crisp, for lack of a better term. But, like, I was playing a little bit with Marcelo when he came out, and Marcelo's doing really good off the bat. You know, he has his, you know, standard kind of, like, he does his, like, kicks and he kind of sways back and forth. He'll do, like, the handstands and, like, the propeller kicks and stuff like that. But they gave him a new feature that's this little charge thing. Like, think kind of like how Jamie from Street Fighter, how he has his drinks. So Eddie has something kind of like that, where you have to do a little input prompt, and then he kind of has the energy swirl around him, and, like, some kind of, like, you know, Brazilian, like drum beats start to happen, and he, like, boosts up. And basically what it does is that it kind of gives him an extra, like, buff, but it also kind of alters his style a little bit more. So like the more he gets buffed up, the more he starts to be able to do, and the more he can kind of go in and out of just like doing a random crazy shit. A lot of fun. I played with a friend of mine because in Tekken 7, Eddie Gordo was his guy. And I was like, bro, Eddie is out. You need to play. And he's like, okay, down. And we made a lobby. Now, I accidentally let the lobby on public, so we started getting other people. And we got somebody that was in, like, the blue tier. So that's, like, three tiers past, you know, the initial. Which is, like, I guess, in numbers terms, it's, like, you're, like, breaching, like, the mid to high 20s to 30s. And this was his, like, first time playing as Eddie Gordo. And he and my buddy beat the shit out of that dude. Like, that's how good Eddie is right now. He's, like, he's busted in the good way. Kind of like how Rashid was busted in the beginning when he came out in Street Fighter 6. But yeah, Eddie Gordo's really cool. Goddamn, I need to learn how to not get my ass beaten in.
Coming.
Please, like a little bit.
DJ Jamie combination sounds cool.
Yeah. And also, he just looks really sick, dude. Like, his whole style, they did a really good job of how he looks. And, like, shout out, I mean, because I know recently that Tekken 8's been getting a lot of shit because they just introduced the season pass for cosmetics, especially because a lot of the cosmetics are, like, customization pieces that were in Tekken 7. So it's like you're playing the battle pass to get those back. So it's kind of like, eh.
Yeah.
But as far as just kind of like, you know, the gameplay is so fun. And like, shout out to them because like they gave all their characters like the outfits from like previous Tekken games. So like Eddie has his Tekken 7 outfit like just there by default, too, as well as like all the other characters. So, you know, on that side, you know, Tekken 8's looking real good, you know. Season pass and like the cosmetic, you know, microtransaction stuff could get a little better. But that's another conversation.
Always. Last thing, and I promise we'll talk about Onslaught. For once, Brian is pushing for Destiny 2, and I am not. I'm like, we got it.
What world is this?
I'm usually like, right? Like, I don't give a like. I'm usually like, yeah, whatever. Let's talk. Go play. Fuck this. But I usually don't say that. I just want to say, of course, if we didn't bring it up before, just making sure, Tales of the Empire, we really liked
Tales of
the Jedi when it came out. It was really nice, short and sweet, like 15-minute episodes. There's like six. Tales of the Empire focusing on two characters, which is going to be really cool. And I didn't think they were going to do one of them as well. They're doing Elsbeth, right, who was recently in The Mandalorian and Ahsoka. And then Barriss Offee, which I honestly forgot about her, and then we're going to see how her storyline ends or continues, so that's really cool. I really, really liked what they did with Tales of the Jedi, so I'm really excited for Tales of the Empire. I thought they were going to do another Tales of the Jedi, but maybe like Quinlan Vos focusing on him. That's what I thought they were going to do, because hey, he's a Jedi, right? But no, Tales of the Empire.
Dave Filoni said Barriss Offee, you know, isn't lost. She's still out there somewhere.
That makes me think they could do Tales of Mandalorian, Tales of the New Republic, Tales of the Old Republic. Like, I honestly, whatever Dave Filoni fucking touches is gold. So keep it coming, Dave. Keep it fucking coming. I'm excited.
Dude, I can't wait.
Just want to throw that one up there. We can talk about Destiny now, I promise.
I know you said one more. I'm going to say one more. That reminds me. My little Fortnite update. They announced that coming May 3rd, the day before Star Wars Day, they announced that more Star Wars content's coming to Fortnite. And what's exciting is that they showed off all of the game modes. So that's, you know, Battle Royale, Lego, and the Rock Band stuff. So it's like, I can get some Star Wars music to just play randomly. That'd be fucking sick.
Pod racing?
Bro, if they make a pod racer for Rocket Racing, I'm so fucking spending as much money as I need to have a pod racer.
Like, yeah, he has the N1 Starfighter. Who gives a fuck? It's the slowest thing. He doesn't give a fuck.
I don't give a fuck. I'm in it for style. I don't give a fuck about performance.
Joel got the game to be the gunship in the race. He never wins, but he's just happy to be.
Okay, Joel. Onslaught. Destiny 2.
Ooh.
Take us in.
All right. So, as you know, we've been, especially for me, I'm a big Destiny fan. Onslaught was like one of the things that have been starting to bring me back a little more. New game mode. You have Lord Shax, charge of the Crucible, in charge of this game mode. Basically, you drop in with you or two randos or two buddies. It's like a wave defense. You kill a bunch of adds. It's essentially a horde mode. They drop batteries. You can throw the batteries to heal the thing you're defending. And when you kill enemies, they drop parts. You spend those parts on like defensive measures like tripwires, turrets, or whatever else is available. Decoys. Just stopping all these hive or fallen or whatever. It's been a lot of fun. When we did it, we kept doing the 10-wave one. And then we did the 50-wave one on normal. We actually just finished it right there. That was really cool. The 50-wave one, even on normal, I think was a decent challenge. It wasn't as hard as like the coil, as I said before. But it's fun. I think we actually ran into a little bit of trouble. A tormentor showed up, and it was thrashing us, and it was thrashing the machine. I was like, oh, shit, we need to get out of here. It's going to destroy the machine. And then we figured it out. But super fun. I think this is something Destiny definitely needed. And, of course, with this mode, you keep playing and playing it. What's there? The loot. They reprice some old weapons. They brought back, like, Hung Jury, which has come back, like, 5 times. But Edge Transit, Fallen Guillotine, Recluse, stuff like that. This week, I think it's Midnight Coup and Mountaintop. So you got to get those soon.
Okay.
Yeah, Mountaintop was notorious in PvP. I used to use it in its heyday. Not properly, though. It had sticky grenades before they nerfed it. And I would just shoot stick and hopefully someone blow themselves up. And, of course, Midnight Coup, famous hand cannon Destiny 2 from the first raid of the Leviathan raid, brought it back. So I'm curious to see what they did with it. But Onslaught's been a lot of fun. What do you think, Brad? What are your thoughts on the Onslaught now that we've did a lot of waves?
Like, honestly, like, I had a lot of fun. Like, it was something I feel like it's weird that it hasn't been in Destiny yet, like a wave defense kind of mission. Like the kind of co-op, like PvE stuff has been kind of hit and miss for me recently, just because it's kind of a lot of it's kind of felt samey in a way. So it was really refreshing to have this like really new like style of PvE. We started out just doing like the normal one, which was like getting our feet wet. But then we actually when we got into the extreme mode, the 50 level or the 50 wave defense, that was when the fun began. Because boy, we got close to losing a lot of times, but we managed to get through. There was even a point where it summoned like four or five of those what are they called, the Dementors?
Oh, the Tormentors?
Or the Tormentors, Tormentors.
I think our first run, it was like a heat wave, right? That was pretty cool. They just, like, we had unlimited supers to fuck them up. That was cool. But yeah, Tormentors, fuck them.
Yeah, they're scary dudes. But yeah, what's nice is that no matter how many times we play through it, it felt like we were always seeing something new. So I don't know what the variety and like the random algorithm that they put into it, but like it was nice to pretty like overall, like including like the other ones we did that night, we did like 70 runs altogether, or like 70 waves altogether.
Yeah, I felt like it,
but it always felt different, which is weird and cool at the same time.
Pretty fresh. Yeah. For Destiny, of course. Yeah. How many nightfalls have we run of, you know, that fucking guy who goes invisible with the electrified floor? Yeah. Like, how many times have we done like a gambit match, you know? And their Crucible match where we're getting our ass kicked. So it's definitely, you know, there are pros and cons to what I just said, but definitely Onslaught is a fresh thing that they've needed for a while.
Yeah, for sure. So, you know. Now, I know when we were playing, you're kind of, you expressed worry about, you know, will they really, like, once Final Shape comes out, will they actually pay attention to this mode anymore?
Will it die like Gambit? Well, I mean, Gambit's been dead, but...
And that, you know, time will tell. For, like, I wonder, because... After the 30th anniversary stuff ended, was that stuff relevant anymore? Like, that game mode, was that relevant anymore?
You're talking about the Azure... Dares of Eternity, that's what it's called.
Dares.
It's relevant once in a while. Like, they brought it back for certain things, or, like, if you want to chase certain weapons, they have it on a rotation there. But, yeah, it's mainly just to get Gjallarhorn, and if you have some old weapons, and throw back to some old things. But I don't go to the treasure hoard, really. I could, though, because there's some things I could still craft, but I'm just like, whatever. Like, I don't want the Battler right now, or whatever's in there. You could, though. But,
so,
I mean, Grasp of Avarice comes from it. I will say, I recently did that with my buddy Nelvin. We were farming some artifice armor, so.
Okay. So I guess it really is time will tell. Either this mode is made specifically just to get this batch of weapons, or if they update it somehow, or maybe that's just not in the cards. Maybe, like, once Final Shape comes out, they get into a low power mode and they just kind of coast. Until
I would they decide be the next so thing. Disappointed if they axe this mode quickly.
I don't think it'll be gone.
If they should keep it for sure. If anything, like, if they do have to remove it like they've done before, I hope they bring it back, like, pretty soon, because it's fresh, you know. And this is the kind of stuff that made us, like, excited when, like, it was almost like Forsaken level fun. You know, it's like, oh, this is some new stuff. I want to keep playing again instead of just like, do my dailies, I'm done. You know, it's not that
kind. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't see it going away, but whether or not it keeps its relevancy is another question for sure. But, you know, in the meantime, it's a super fun game mode. Is this, like, weapon rollout thing going to be like a weekly thing? Like,
had a roadmap of, like, when which weapons are coming out. Okay. I don't know off the top of my head. I could search for it now.
Because this will be, like, the start of the second week. Was the ability to retool Outbreak out today?
Oh, that's end of the month, or in May, I think.
Oh, okay. So that's a little bit ways off.
Oh, I know. You want to retool that thing. Oh, no.
It's a good weapon. I mean, once Red Death comes, I'm throwing everything else away.
Like, 0 hour. Oh, returns May 14th. So we know.
Damn. Okay.
Next week is Hammerhead away. And Forbearance. If you haven't gotten Forbearance, it is. Hammerhead is the best scout rifle in the game. That's a joke. Forbearance is a great waveframe grenade launcher from Val the Disciple. I can't praise it enough. I love that gun so much. That's the first weapon I crafted. I put my Trials Memento on that gun. I love that thing. So I'm wondering to see what they did to make it different. Of course, April 30th, Blast Furnace, popular pulse rifle from Black Armory, and Luna's Howl, very famous hand cannon as well from Crucible. Loved Luna's Howl. Oh, man, that thing was nasty when you got it going. Yeah, good mode, good things to be excited about. New perks on this shit too. Yeah, Whisper's live. We haven't done it yet. We should do a run of Whisper and see how powerful we become with Strand and shit. But yeah, Outbreak. I remember, like, taking you through it, taking, like, Jameson when he played through it, Justice. I was like, we gotta do Outbreak, it's so cool. Which is funny because I think the story was the ornaments people bought for Whisper funded Outbreak, I think, which I think is hilarious. So
people bought
enough shit, to fund Outbreak. Yeah.
Like in real life or in game?
Yeah, I think so. Like in real life. Like, I think that's how the story went. Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
I mean, Whisper was a big deal when it came out. I was like, holy shit, this is sick. Like, that was the start of me like, okay, Destiny needs to do something different or I'm about to, you know, I'm out of here. And then Whisper and
Forsaken. I just remember the process of getting it.
Oh, dude, like that public event on Io. Then you had to find random the fucking chance. Taken. Yeah, one of three locations. And then you have to get in the portal. And it's not even guaranteed that you'll, you know.
And then you have like 10 succeed. Minutes to finish the mission.
10 to 15, yeah. 10 to 15 minutes. And if you did it, and then eventually they did legendary ones where if you already did it, it was unlocked. And you could get like the ship or the catalyst. Oh, man. So cool, though. Apparently it's a joke. It's a joke now. We're too powerful. Only one way to find out.
Only one way. They didn't update it?
There's things to do, like to unlock perks for Whisper.
But like the mission itself is still the same.
I think so, yeah. Especially with Strand. Like, remember how we'd be like struggling to get there in the last 5 minutes? We're probably going to get there with 10 minutes. And we're like, oh, fuck this shit.
Well, once Final Shape comes, a lot of things are going to become a joke, which I guess will kind of maneuver our way into. They showed off some Final Shape stuff, including the one class, the one subclass everybody thought of a long time ago was now being dubbed Prismatic, where you get to actually combine other subclasses together.
Yeah, Dark and Light together, yeah.
That's
it looks really cool on screen. I luckily had that day off, and usually I miss these presentations. But I was like, oh, isn't this thing about to happen right now? I'm like in bed, like, oh, this is sick. Like just watching this fucking like void, like stasis warlock do some crazy shit, or was it like a void hunter, like spin the knife while throwing, like do like a stasis knife while throwing like a fire grenade. Oh man, that was pretty cool. That was dope.
So here's my question, Joel. Which combination are you going to try first?
Whatever's available. I think they have a set thing, but if they can allow some bullshit, I'm going to do like Threadlings and Arc Souls. I'm going to be that guy. I'm going to send army of fucking people who do work for me to fucking do work for me. It's like, fuck you. You're going to fight for me. I will say the Taken look a little more evil. Their eyes are more like pronounced too. It looks really great. But yeah, it's called, what's it called? Prismatic? Prismatic is the new subclass, yeah. So that's, yeah, we've all thought about, like, why don't they just combine it? Because, like, in lore, Ikora can combine all three of the light subclasses. So about time. But, yeah, that made me think, like, yeah, they're pulling out all the stops. They need people. They're like, in the red, like, Disney and WWE. We need to make the right choices. We need to pull ahead. And it looked good, I got to say.
Yeah. And it's interesting because we're also getting a new meter too, because the prismatic meter is the thing on its own that gives you like a certain buff when you activate it, and it lasts for. What's interesting is that it's like a combination of light and dark that you have to fill in both together to activate. Yeah. So I hope they go into more detail about it soon. Ben in the chat also mentioned that there's also a new enemy type, the Dread.
Yes, the Dread. For those who love Shriekers and our gunships, we got a flying type in Destiny, everybody. We love them. We love our flying types. And I love that they showed the Guardians getting killed by them, too. Like, they're flying, and they have guns. It's not like a Shrieker, right, where it just kind of runs into you. It's like the gunship.
It's an actual flying creature.
Like, fuck, that's going to be fucking annoying. So, yeah, they look really cool. The different...
the husks too.
And like there's like husk, there's like a scion, like light and dark kind of dude, and like one they like explode and it follows you, like it has like a detonator or something.
It's wild
It's hype.
And then, you know, of course it all leads to the end.
Exotic class items are finally getting it back, and they actually do something. They're combining like exotic class perks and across different classes. So that's really cool. You're going to have some like
warlock across ability different classes?
I think so. Or is it just different exotics? I think there's hunter one.
Because each class gets the exotic. of yeah. their, but I think it only does it across like their perspective exotics. I think, but you get to choose like two.
Yeah, that
or like it drops of two. It'd be wild if you could do all of them.
Nofidian has like the fast reload for warlocks, I think. Well, if I'm wrong, that's okay. But if not, dope. I know there's, I think, a Kepri's one, so that'd be pretty cool to throw on any Titan build. So,
you know, it'd be wild if they had a weapon version of that.
People have been wanting, have Telesto, Crimson, and Gjallarhorn all in a row. Just be unstoppable. I would do like Whisper and like a Trace Rifle and then like Last Word or something. It'd be ridiculous.
What was that one machine gun that could also like fire a missile?
I know what you're talking about. I can't remember off the top of my head. I was just thinking about it the other day. It's like the Cabal one, right? You like hold X, you can like spam the blinding missiles. Is that the one you're talking about?
No, it's a Strand one.
What the fuck?
I think so. Or it has an ability where it like shoots out like a missile.
Oh, you're talking about the auto rifle, yeah, with the grenade launcher. You talking about that?
Yeah, that one.
Oh yeah.
Imagine that with Wolfpack rounds.
Oh god. Boom. Yeah, I'm gonna give Leviathan's Breath Wolfpack rounds and Xenophage.
Oh god. Level spray. Oh no.
Yeah, just god.
Yeah.
And Winterbite. I just want to swing my glaive at someone and it has Wolfpack rounds. There you go. That's not broken at all.
No.
Ready for this, witness? Wham!
Yeah. I don't know. I'm looking forward to seeing where this all ends up at. I know there's been a lot of fatigue with Destiny and with Bungie as a company, but, I think we've been in this... since the beginning, it's been like the long haul. I feel like we owe it to ourselves in our investment to actually see the end, regardless of what it is.
It's almost been like 10 years. Like, remember, we went to the GameStop before midnight to get the release? Well, I did. I was like, I gotta get this game.
I remember, like, I was not gonna play it, but then you guys were like, oh man, we gotta play Destiny. I was like, fuck. I need to get Destiny now.
It's funny because I wasn't even sold on either. Ben was like, it's kind of cool, you should check it out. I was like, yeah, whatever. And then I saw them dancing in the fucking trailer with the fucking emotes. I was like, all right, I'm in. Like, never mind. I'm in. And it's funny because you were against it, but then me, you, and Josh had that clutch fucking moment in the first Whisper mission in Destiny 1. Remember that? There was that last guy we needed to kill, and you killed him in the last second. Remember that shit?
Yeah. It was
the original Whisper. You had to get the ship too. You literally had to clear the whole catch. That thing too was like you had to load in on a certain day. It had to be a certain mission.
I remember. I was so stressed out. Time limit.
Dude, it was. Yeah, just like we were all like, come on. And you're like, I gotta. It's like.
Literally went in for the punch. Damn. And it worked.
Literally. Destiny's hero moments, man.
It has its moments. We definitely have a good amount of stories with Destiny. So here's hoping that come June, we get a decent ending to this 10-year tale of ups and downs.
I still need a buy.
I do too. Even though I have the tower.
Wait, it didn't come with the game?
No, I just bought the tower.
Oh shit, I thought it came with the game.
No, you can get it with the game, but I didn't. Because I was going to wait.
I guess I got to sell some shit.
All right. Well, I believe that will do it for the podcast for this episode. I want to thank everybody that's listening or watching this later on in the VOD realm. We appreciate you guys. Of course, remember, April 27th, That's a Saturday at 1 p.m. Pacific. Title's on the line in Pokemon Snap. High score. That title's coming home, baby. It's going to be here. Not there.
I hope I get that Mew at the end that I saw in my old game guide when I was 7. Professor Oak or whatever.
Yes. Come watch. Come hang out here. But of course, here, people in the Twitch chat hang out because we might be playing something fun. But for everybody else, thanks so much for listening / watching. We appreciate y'all. We'll catch you next time. And of course, always remember, keep all nerding.
Item 3 is this year.
Why?